I have been down some strange, dark, and dangerous alleys in my life. I don't mean metaphorically, I mean literally. I've been lost and alone in the city of Rome, Italy, by myself at the age of 14. I have never been so frightened as one particular day in my life when I returned home from school. School bus dropped me off, I walked home, the dangerous two houses and half lot, you know, brutal distance, I know, but I made it, as I did every day. I walked in through the front door, and I went into the kitchen, and it occurred to me that the house was quiet. I have five brothers and sisters. The house is never quiet. It was very odd. I came in, and there was nobody in the kitchen. I went into the dining room, there was no one there. Went on to the living room, family room, my bedroom, my parents' bedroom. My mother was not there. And I was filled with this incredible sense of fear. It was so overwhelming to me that I ran outside and I stood in the driveway and I tried to absorb the idea of my mother not being there when I genuinely expected her to be there. And I really didn't know what to do. It couldn't have been more than 20 seconds my mother pulled up right there, pulled into the driveway. I was literally alone, or mentally I was alone. My older sibling was actually downstairs, 17 years old, fully capable of babysitting for 35 seconds. I didn't go in his room, you know, so I didn't find that particular piece of information out. But from my perspective, I was alone. And I was terrified. Because I was trying to think what I would do without my mother. There is a fascinating relationship, a very particular relationship that we have with our mothers. They hold that very special place in our heart, that they know us so well and so particularly and so lovingly, that they would love us as only a mother can. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Mother of God. And what a truly remarkable reality it must be to consider for that moment God Himself, and to consider that God had a mother, to consider that someone would watch Him grow up and know Him as only a mother does, and then to consider truly the responsibility that would go along with something like that. Remember, this is the same woman who encountered an angel. And not just an angel, but an archangel. Encountered an archangel who was so excited to meet her that he didn't begin with the phrase, "Don't be afraid," but quite the opposite. He began with, "Hail, full of grace." Not only did she meet an angel, but then she was found a child before she lived with her husband. She could have been stoned and outcast right then and there. She could have been rejected for so many reasons right then and there, but instead she wasn't. The same woman who had to make an arduous journey to Bethlehem so that the government could perform their census while she was pregnant, only to end up giving birth in some dingy little stable and then having shepherds be the first to come and greet her newborn child. And how very bizarre that is. I mean, I remember two home births. Both of my little brothers were born at home. My mother barely wanted to see us, let alone strangers, having them wander through the house and take a look at the new baby. This same woman who encountered after the shepherds three strange men from the east with bizarre and very, very strange gifts. And yet she had to hold all of these things in her heart and try and imagine and come to know and understand what particular child this is that she is to raise. This child who she loses at the age of 12 and doesn't know where he is, and for 3 days is filled with panic and dread as she hunts him down to try and find him, you know, that she can kill him personally. Because, you know, this 12-year-old has gone missing and now we have to find him. And to take him back and watch him grow. The same child who she takes to a wedding feast. She takes to this wedding feast and they have this great need, and she knows her child and she knows what he's capable of. Obviously, he's given some indications because at some point she has become aware of what he has become capable of. Probably some hint of that at his presentation as we celebrate. This presentation where Simeon warns her that a sword will pierce her heart and she will know pain. And then she loses him at 12. She finds him again. She takes him to a wedding, and now she has to come to grips with the fact that this wedding is about to go crashing and burning because they run out of wine. And really, after that buzz, who wants to stick around for a 7-day celebration? She sees face to face as he performs incredible miracles, witnesses firsthand healing and feedings and truly remarkable moments from start to finish. This woman who watches her child die, publicly executed, jeered, reviled, hated by many, executed for crimes he was never guilty of, to watch him rise again 3 days later, to see him ascend to the Father 40 days after that, with the promise of the sending of the Spirit to come after that, to sit in that upper room with the apostles in fear and watch as that mighty wind and those fire descends like little tongues over each of them and fills them with the Holy Spirit, to witness the faith grow and expand and really just explode outward. Remember, 3,000 were converted the day of Pentecost. To watch the faith grow in leaps and bounds and to grow so quickly and so fast that it becomes something that the government fears all over again. And so the persecution begins again. And so she must flee. She can no longer stay in Jerusalem, for the persecution has gotten worse. This woman who has faithfully witnessed all of these things and kept them in her heart. This is that woman we celebrate today, the solemnity of the Mother of God. Consider for a moment what a very particular place our mothers hold in our hearts. How very important our mother is to us. And whether we think we have the best relationship or the worst relationship with our mother, regardless, we can always hear her. We can always hear her voice criticizing when we're doing things the way we know we're not supposed to do them, or encouraging when we're doing it exactly the way Mom always used to. I still can't fold my towels in half. I have to fold them three ways, because otherwise I can hear my mother criticizing me. There are certain ways that things just have to be done, apparently. How truly remarkable this relationship we have with our mother. And how very special and loving Jesus must be to take that opportunity to give us a second mother. Not only do we come to know our mother here on earth to benefit from that mother in so many ways, whether for good or for bad, and yet we have a second mother. One who intercedes before us in front of God constantly, prays for us, intercedes for us, speaks on our behalf, and pleads our causes. Mothers, as only mothers can, encouraging God to bring us closer to Him, to bring us back to His grace, to bring us in so many ways back into that infinite light. And through it all, we are so blessed to have these mothers. So as we celebrate the solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, take time to thank your mother, whether in prayer or by phone call, text or email. Thank your mother. Take that moment and remember to thank God that we would be so lucky to have so noble a mother. I always remember John Paul II. His mother died when he was very young. And after she passed, he went into the church and he knelt before the altar dedicated to our Blessed Mother and he said, "You're going to have to be my mother now." It's that simple devotion we celebrate. It's that beautiful dedication that we come to. And in so many ways, we celebrate today.